From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, June 4th. I'm Abby Larico. The Missouri House passed about 10 education bills this year that representatives say languished in the Senate.
And then got used as pawns in the political games that occur sometimes in the Senate. And I don't play the political games that way.
St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran has more on why almost nothing on education passed in what was otherwise a busy year in the legislature. Coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says cuts to the budget for next fiscal year are almost guaranteed as the city tries to deal with unexpected raises for the St. Louis Fire Department. STLPR's Rachel Littman explains.
Later this month, the state board that oversees the St. Louis Police Department is likely to approve raises for its command staff of up to 22%. The money for those raises is available in the police department's budget, but they trigger equal pay hikes for the fire department, which the city was not prepared to fund. The police board was expected to approve the raises on Wednesday, but delayed to give the city time to find the money. Spencer says that will be a difficult task with less than a month before the start of the new fiscal year.
Those cuts have to be thought through, thoughtful, negotiated with the departments. These are probably going to be cuts to city workers.
Spencer says she does not want to use one-time revenue such as RAM settlement or reserve funds to cover what will be an ongoing cost. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
Rachel also reports that Police Board President Chris Saraceno says he understands the difficult position the city's in.
But our department can't necessarily be held back because of that charter. We have an obligation to this department.
The police board did approve 4% raises for the SLMPD's civilian employees. After a full school year without a contract, a Metro East school district and its teachers union have reached a tentative deal. The Cahokia School District and the union that represents its teachers, service workers, and secretaries agreed on the terms this week. Ray Roskis has been negotiating on behalf of the teachers union.
It's difficult, but it was that process that led us to an agreement, and I didn't think we'd get there, but we did.
The Cahokia School Board and the union's full membership still have to approve the agreement. It includes a 5% increase for the union's base salaries, but it now requires teachers to make lesson plans available to the principal once a week. And even with that deal, Roskis says the union will not back down from allegations that the assistant superintendent was paid far above his contracted salary. The superintendent says the tentative deal demonstrates mutual dedication to the district's employees. Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy says that Democrats need to talk to voters who may have diametrically different positions than them. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum spoke with the Democratic lawmaker during his recent stop in St. Louis about how his party should rebuild for the upcoming elections.
In his new book, The Crisis of the Common Good, The Search for Meaning and Connection in a Broken America, Murphy says Democrats have been unwilling to broaden their coalition, including voters who don't align with the party on social issues like abortion or gun control. Murphy says Democrats can attract voters around things like opposition to corporate consolidation and support of strong labor unions.
How am I ever going to have a chance to convert somebody and make them believe that welfare is not just for lazy people or that drag shows are not the primary problem in your community if I don't even get to talk to them?
Murphy's book also argues that Democrats should support institutions that foster human togetherness. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
And you can hear more of Jason's interview with Senator Murphy on St. Louis on the Air at stlpr.org. Deaths by suicide, alcohol, or drug use are down in Missouri and Illinois. That's according to a new analysis this week of federal health data by Trust for America's Health. It found in both Missouri and Illinois there were fewer of these deaths in 2024 compared to 2023. Still, stigma can be a barrier to seeking help, says J. Nadine Gracia, the organization's CEO.
Having a mental health challenge or facing drug use, it is not a moral failing.
Missouri's rate of these so-called deaths by despair was down by 15%. Illinois is down by 18%. That puts both states in line with national trends. The Metro East Village of Millstatt is dropping its bid to cut down a resident's flower and vegetable garden. As St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, the village is walking back its decision after a nonprofit law firm intervened, arguing the move would have violated state law.
Last week, Milstadt left Laura Schaefer a citation for violating the high grass and weed ordinance. The village said she would have to take out the garden, or it would do it at $40 per hour. In an interview with the Belleville News Democrat, Schaefer says her garden had been a refuge for her during cancer treatments.
It is my gym. It is my temple. It is my therapy. You know, it provides me nutritious food. You know, it's just everything to me.
After the Institute of Justice got involved this week, Schaefer says the village mayor assured her it wouldn't move forward. The law firm argued that Milstadt's citation had violated a state law that defines gardens on residential property and prohibits municipalities from regulating them. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri legislature passed very few education changes this past session. That's despite about 10 bills making it close to the finish line. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports on where things fell apart and what the future may hold.
This is definitely the section.
Daniel Watson grew up biking to the University City Public Library on weekends with instructions from his parents to come back with book reports. Usually, he liked biographies about Black historical figures, like the musician Paul Robeson.
The son of a pastor, Paul learned from his father to love writing and spoken words, to be proud of being Black.
The youth organizer for the Coalition with STL Kids says reading is crucial to build confidence. His organization aims to, among other things, improve the literacy rate in St. Louis public schools. In January, Watson testified for the Coalition in favor of a bill seeking to help transition Missouri to reading through phonics and hold back and tutor students who aren't proficient.
When we invest in literacy, we invest in workforce development, economic stability, and public safety.
Watson also supported a bill to establish an A through F system for grading Missouri schools. That one was more controversial because some districts say it's hard to roll a complex school into a single letter grade. But neither bill made it past the House.
The kids, they're kind of like, I don't want to say like a pawn, but it's almost like they're just in the middle of it.
That's why Watson says he will testify again next year. He feels the bills will come back better. Democratic representative and former teacher Kathy Steinhoff agrees. She says the literacy bill and another the House passed to restrict screen time and bring back cursive writing started off needing work.
I was like, heck no, I'm not going to vote on this.
Steinhoff says she worried about adding more to a teacher's plate, but she eventually voted yes on both and felt better about the A through F bill because House Education Committee Chair Ed Lewis let her and others come to the table with suggestions.
I think he's somebody who exhibits through his actions that legislation is better when everybody has a chance to weigh in on it.
Lewis, another teacher, says there isn't always a place for partisanship in education.
I mean, there are some divides on some issues, but in many of the issues, there's a lot of common ground.
Even on the A through F bill, Lewis says the House listened to Democrats and made changes so schools that improve on metrics like literacy could get extra funding. But he says every education bill languished in the Senate.
And then got used as pawns in the political games that occur sometimes in the Senate. And I don't play the political games that way.
Both parties in the Senate blamed the other for not getting education changes across the finish line.
I'm sitting in the Senate Education Committee, and it was one bill after bill that, in my opinion, was nonsensical.
That's Democratic Senator Maggie Nirenberg. The former teacher criticized the Republican chair, Rick Bratton, for prioritizing what she calls culture war legislation, like a bill to keep teachers from recognizing a student's preferred gender. Nirenberg also says she drafted 19 amendments to the A through F plan because she was concerned Republicans would use it as an excuse to expand vouchers for private schools.
The governor on down really want to go out there and paint a picture that our public schools are doing terribly, that they're underperforming.
But Bratton and other Republicans stood firm on their priorities.
I'm sorry they don't like them, but They can't win on their ideals. They can't win on those. That's why they are a super minority.
Of all things, Bratton says he would have liked the literacy bill to pass because he saw his dyslexic daughter grow after repeating a grade. But he says that's the legislature.
Some years you have, you know, some real monumental years and movement, and some years you don't, and you just regroup and try to go after it the next year.
But with a possible change to how the state funds public education and future tight budgets, Democrats say they don't know what next year will bring on education. I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece from our State House reporting intern extraordinaire, Lily Halloran, who's contributed to STLPR in so many ways over the years. And now she's off to her next opportunity and to a newsroom that will be lucky to have her. Thanks, Lily, for sharing your talents with us. We're so thankful and proud of you. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.